IVM.
All right, hello and welcome to Football Twaddle. My name is Saru and this is such a momentous occasion. I have two Liverpool fans with me. Yes, Savant and Manav Madan. What's up, guys?
What is this fake news?
Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid, no. So, Pep Guardiola, let's start with Pep Guardiola. He is slowly losing his mind. He said, everyone wants, is a Liverpool fan. And that is why they're putting down Manchester City. Who wants to take pot shots at him? Yes, turn is yours.
Yeah, but see, for a change, I'd like to defend him. I would say, since Manchester City don't have any legends, the studios all over the world are filled with like Michael Owens and Danny Murphy's. We'll have to wait till all these English-speaking Man City players retire.
That is the Jose Mourinho argument. I mean, he said that in a post-match sometime, like years and years ago. But that was in humor. Here, Pep seemed like he meant it, that the whole world is against Man City. Like, who gives a shit about Man City? Why is the whole world against them?
No one really cares. It's just whatever. Go for good, man.
And why is he bringing in siege mentality? Yes, after losing the Champions League semi-final.
I mean, the referee association and everybody is definitely with Liverpool. We can see with the decisions that are going their way, red cards turning into yellow and free kicks being given to the other side. So that part I totally understand. So maybe Guardiola cannot say that open in the press. So he's giving another version of it that he can't name the referees, but yeah.
When I started, you know, when I was like, thought I'll start off the podcast with this so that, you know, we can do our usual Pep bashing. But look at this. The two people here are defending Pep and the honor of Manchester City. So, yes, why is Liverpool not getting red cards? And why are you squinting?
You know, the person who's injured went down and held the ball afterwards and things like that. So, I just don't know. What is the point of VAR? And on top of that, they were complaining that the goal that was scored by Aston Villa was, there was an offside like donkey's ears before within that move. So I don't understand. I mean, this is just clearly whatever, man. I mean,
man. So who is under more pressure, Manav? Pep or Klopp?
I mean, ideally you would say Pep because he's bottled the Champions League yet again. And
bottled.
Literally, because and Klopp is on his way for the quadruple. Halfway through the season, we wouldn't have even thought it would come down to the last 4 or 5 game weeks. But he has managed to stretch it, so he's done fairly well in the Premier League. They still have an outside chance to win it, Liverpool. And they are in contention for the other two trophies also in the finals of the other two cup competitions. So I would say the more pressure was on Pep, now it's no longer there. But yeah, he still has to deliver the Premier League. And he's got Haaland, so obviously the next year looks good for him.
So yeah,
Julian Alvarez, Erling Haaland, and I mean Foden as the front three. So yeah.
Oh yes. So yes, there was some time ago. Pep said he's nauseated. He's sick and tired of where the football was going, where people can just buy players for 100 million and then just win easily. That is not the football he loves. And he said the whole world is against him. And then he spent 100 million to get Haaland.
Isn't it less? I think it's less than 100 million.
Is that your point of contention?
Yeah.
Your problem is the number.
Say, oh, he costs less than Lukaku next year. That's the argument that's going to be thrown around all the time.
Wait, hasn't the argument already started? He cost 2 million. There's a joke going around Manchester City that he cost 2 million less than Fred.
No, that's not possible. Like,
yeah, this is this joke going around, but I think what I read just today evening that after everything, add-ons, everything, and so it's going to cost around 85 million. So.
Are they throwing 10 million on Mino's grave as well?
Yeah, probably. I won't be surprised. But yeah, I mean, around the price of Maguire, you could say, but yeah, not Fred. So.
All right. The two people for the Premier League are in like massive. It looks like they're feeling the pressure, Manav, because let me tell you a statement. I don't like the way Tottenham play. It's not my football. I cannot train my players like this. It's not something I enjoy. Who said the following?
Yeah, it was the Liverpool manager, Jurgen Klopp, who said this. And I frankly loved the match. And I think Tottenham were spot on with their tactics. Before the game started, you knew what Tottenham were going to do. They've done it in the past to Manchester City in the season. And they almost pulled it off. I mean, I would say that unfortunate deflection of Bentancur, which went in. But otherwise, Liverpool had the possession, okay. But I don't even remember seeing Lloris making saves or Liverpool threatening the goal or anything. They had the possession. They were in the last third of Tottenham, but I don't remember some dangerous shots on targets or anything like that. So, almost pulled
off. I've never seen Yash sadder in the last 3 years until when Liverpool scored the goal. He was literally disappointed. What is this happening? Yash?
Yeah, because Tottenham is it's an inoffensive team. So I really don't mind them having any success, especially if it's going to create problems for Liverpool on their title charge. And I was pretty confident that in the midweek fixture against team managed by Steven Gerrard, there was no way that game was going to end in a draw or a defeat for Liverpool. No matter what the media might say, that it was a tough game and Danny Ings, the former Liverpool player, had a couple of chances and all that. They could have chalked in 3 points or used a permanent marker as 3 points in that game on his board. Klopp could have done that. So if they were going to drop points, it was here. If they would have dropped one more point, it would have given a nice 4-point cushion to Man City. And although Man City have it in their hands, it's still, I'm pretty nervous for that, for a couple of games. Tonight they play Wolves. I think this one they'll win. But after that, West Ham, if they want to get into the Europa spots, or definitely Stevie G, if he wants to do a favor for his old team, those are going to be tough games when ideally they should be on the beach and not care about those games.
Okay. Talking of teams on the beach, Manav, there's a team which lost 4-0 to Brighton on the weekend.
And which team is it?
Let's not talk about
I wonder.
Let's not talk about the
I
team.
Wonder.
Let's talk about Rio Ferdinand's comment. So a pundit who is literally washing dirty linen on camera every week and says, it is so bad that Ragnik is doing washing dirty linen in public. He should not be allowed to do any more press conference. Kyun bhai? He's already said whatever he has to say. Just let him do the 2 more press conferences.
Yeah, I on another group of mine, I was discussing with a group of, again, United supporters, and they were saying Rangnick's tenure has been so poor. There has been no step forward has been taken in the forward way. And the gameplay has only deteriorated, so to say. We weren't playing great either under the first half of Solskjaer this season. But I would, on the contrary, I would say it has been very good. It is now out in the open, and this manager has been very, very sort of straightforward in the press conferences also. So he is actually showing the world the true colors, which is there when he said we need 6 to 8 players to be signed. This club needs to sign. It's thoroughly true. And I'm really happy that we saw these 6 months of pain and failure. But I just hope the only way is upwards from here.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. Do you concur?
Yeah, I concur with Manav completely. This was needed. Ferdinand, obviously being a former professional player and all that, he has these apprehensions. But this needed to happen. Everyone needed to know what's going on. And on top of that, with regards to the Ragnick tenure, which Manav spoke about, if you look at it, if you step back and take a micro point of view, he did pretty okay between Jan and March. And United were leading points at that point of time. And he pretty much stopped that. And United did not lose a single game for 2 months, apart from the FA Cup, which was again a penalty shootout knockout. After that, there was this 15-day period. United didn't have a FA Cup fixture, plus I think even they didn't even have a Premier League fixture.
They didn't play for 18, 19 days.
Yeah, 18, 19 days. And I think it all went downhill after that, because they're already out of the Champions League. And the only thing they would have probably needed to play for was top four. And like the best players in United should not be doing that, while the other ones really shouldn't care because they're going to be out, plus all this free time. So as the old school time adage goes, an empty mind is a devil's workshop. So maybe this was the period when all these problems sort of, you know, started occurring, all these leaks started occurring, and that's when the Ragnick's tenure really went to
dogs.
I think in those 18, 19 days, I even saw a picture of Ragnick in the Caribbean.
Yeah, he was watching cricket, because I remember Gary Neville saying that, look at this, not sad, they're not crying at home. They went to Caribbean to watch football, some are in Dubai. In our times, if we lost a match, we wouldn't have shown our face anywhere. Because Harry Maguire took his parents for dinner on his father's birthday or something.
So, and Saruvia, and after this 4-0 loss to Brighton, another comment which resurfaced was Jose Mourinho's, when he said that finishing second with this United squad has been one of his biggest achievements.
See, man, so people are I've been telling this for so long. Jose is a visionary. What is that famous guy who predicted future 500 years later? Nostradamus. Why? Yes, Arsenal, man, what's going on with them? Why the fuck are they winning so much all of a sudden?
Yeah, it's a little, I don't know. I mean, I had high hopes that they won't make it to the Champions League after those three defeats.
And after Arteta's contract extension.
Yeah, pretty much so. But tonight is the night, right? I mean,
they're four,
London derby.
They're 4 points ahead of Spurs. So,
I mean, of course, Arteta has done reasonably well. The fact that he did so badly last season, again, has helped him. That he's played like 15 games less than most other teams. But the only silver lining to all of this is that once Arsenal are back in the Champions League, they'll face tougher opponents like Bayern and get smashed. So it'll be fun to see all our friends or Arsenal fans like in despair.
But I think they'll have a good summer in the transfer window then, because I saw that now Tielemans is linked with them and a couple of other players.
Arsenal has been
Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah, all of them are decent players. They'll get out of the group stages if they make it to the Champions League.
They will lose to Bayern in round of 16. Because that's back. All right, let's get to the topic at hand. We were asked Manav to do some research on why Everton are in the doldrums that they are. And Frank Lampard has pulled out the magic wand over the last two games. Somehow they have won, giving them a good chance to stay in the Premier League. But Manav, this is a club which spent like $600-700 million over the last 3-4 years. Where has all that money gone? They can't even pass the ball to each other.
Right. I mean, right now, just a few minutes back, we were discussing old players helping their clubs out as managers. Here, we have to talk about old clubs helping their legends out in getting out of the relegation zone. Everton with that 1-0 win over Chelsea. I mean, their hopes and everything took... they had a fresh breath of air. And now they seem to be in a decent position as we speak, because they are out of the relegation zone and both Burnley and Leeds are beneath them. But yeah, still, I think a couple of fixtures to go for them. So let's see. But as you mentioned, they have spent around 500 odd million in the last since 2016. In 2016, they had a change of ownership. This Israeli guy,
Farhad Bashiri, Egyptian,
is he? I think he's Iranian
UK wala.
Yeah. So he took around 49.9% shareholding in the club, but it was expected that this would be like the Sheikh's takeover of Man City or Abramovich's takeover of Chelsea. A new owner has come in, new capital has come in, and the club will resurface. And they were finishing, I think, at that time between 6th to 8th or 6th to 9th.
Now it's between 16th and 19th.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, see what has happened. Whenever I think of my early years of watching football, I associate Everton with consistency. They had David Moyes for such a long period of time as manager. Then they had Roberto Martinez for a fairly decent period of time as manager.
That's where the downfall started.
And then as soon as Martinez left, they have had like 6 managers in the last 5 years. And with sackings happening, or I mean departures happening in mostly at the end of the season, we have seen Ronald Koeman, we have seen Marco Silva, Carlo Ancelotti. These are not small names or unknown names, right?
Yes.
Koeman and Ancelotti, when they got Ancelotti, it seemed like this will solve all their problems. And he was indeed able to attract a lot of talent like James Rodriguez and all. But I mean, despite spending so much, they have spent it on the wrong people, you can say, which is fairly true for Manchester United.
40 billion for Bobby, what is...
I mean, one of the worst transfers that has happened.
They spent around 30 million on Yannick Bolasie, who made, I think, 20 odd appearances for them. 26 million for Morgan Schneiderlin.
From United.
44 odd million for Gylfi Sigurdsson, which is, I mean, he's a good player, but definitely not worth 44 million.
Now he's in jail,
and,
no?
And Theo Walcott, 20 million. At that time, he would have turned 32 or something, right? And you have other players like, okay, Pickford and Michael Keane are still there doing fine.
And then they had some, doing well.
Yeah, and they had some couple of Dutch signings under Koeman who came and went at a loss of 10, 15 million each, and nobody even remembers them. Klaassen and other.
Anderson. There was an Anderson.
Anderson, no. Klaassen was
there,
I remember.
Oh.
Yeah. And then they've had lots of players, and now they've paid some aggregating to over 40 million for Dele Alli. I mean, as soon as last day of the deadline day. So we don't have to go that far. And of course, they've had some fabulous young player signing, which Everton in the past is known of. They've signed Calvert-Lewin very cheaply from, I think, Sheffield or somewhere.
Yeah, but
they had Luca Dean at a decent price from Barcelona. So some signings did work out, but yeah, not enough. I mean, there's been such a... And if you keep changing managers, they will not get along with every player which the previous manager got along with. And the biggest problem when you spend so much money in the market is that whether they are the owners signing, the coaches signing, or the sporting director signings. And this was always a problem with them. They finished, I think they've got 60 points, above 60 points only one of the last 7 or 8 seasons.
Man, yes. This is, imagine just being a billionaire is not enough. You can, I mean, from when what Manav is saying and just hearing those names, you can spend 400 million so easily and you cannot just move anywhere. It is that tough.
Yeah, if you sit down and think about what those players are and what are their strengths, they've spent 400 million on squad fillers is what I feel. There's no heart in that, you know, like there's no good
jigra.
Central midfield.
There's no jigra.
Great center back. Sorry?
There's no jigra.
Yeah, dude, no jigra. There's no there are no leaders in this team. So it's difficult for a certain team to, you know, do well. Like if you remember the old Everton team, they had a bunch of tough characters.
Yeah, Leighton Baines and all.
Leighton Baines, and then there's that Australian guy up now.
Tim Cahill.
Tim Cahill.
Tim Cahill,
Leon Osman was, and even Marwan, my man Marwan Fellaini, he was.
Yeah, so all of them had.
And they had Phil Jagielka.
You know, they
had Phil Jagielka, the captain. So.
Jagielka, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, yeah. They were not very skillful, but they always, you know, were a bunch of characters that took the fight to the opponents, even if they were like a really good Chelsea team or a United team. These guys there are a couple of flashy guys in there like James Rodriguez, but. They clearly need to sign a bunch of leaders and people with character to, you know, to get this team together to play together. I mean, Dele Alli is not going to solve your problems.
Yeah. But Saruvia, the main thing is that in the initial years, they did earn a lot from these players they sold as well. So they sold John Stones for around 50 million to City. They sold Lukaku for around 75, 80 million to Man United. Mm. So it's not that it was just a one-way spending. There were money in the form of outgoings as well. But right now, if you see, who will you sell for how much? There is, apart from Calvert-Lewin and maybe Michael Keane, nobody comes to mind. And this condition of theirs lying at 16th in the table is when Jordan Pickford, who was made so much fun of in the last 2 years, has been their best player.
Yeah,
and he has pulled off some amazing saves.
Dude, I have seen the last two games of Everton and Pickford was so good, man. I mean, if anything, to the points of yes, jigra and heart and everything, Pickford has heart, lot of heart. He's full of heart, he is.
Too bad the heart is only in the middle of the sticks.
All right. Manav, before we go, how did Rafa Benitez screw this up also?
I mean, when Benitez was hired, there were a lot of sort of people who were not... The fans, of course, did not want Benitez to be the manager because, of course, his association with Liverpool in the past. And he had made some comments about Everton in the past, of Everton being a small club, etc. But they still went on and hired him. And then there were some differences between Benitez, the way he wanted, the way he saw how the side should proceed and how they should play football. I mean, just if you look at it, in the first few matches of
Benitez,
this season...
Yes, did you know that Benitez and Steve Bruce have similar records at Newcastle?
What? I thought Steve Bruce is much worse.
Hey, that's what everyone is led to believe because they love Benitez there.
The first
argument for him is that when he took over, that half season was disastrous because it was not his team, right? And once they went down to the championship, he turned them around and made them winners and all that.
And then he came back and got fired.
In the first seven games of this season, first seven games under Benitez, they won 4, drew 2.
Huh? Then what happened?
Everton. And then things went downhill because players were not happy because he was playing very defensive football, etc. Luka Dean in particular had a fallout with the manager.
I remember this, that he basically fought in the club to kick Luka Dean out.
Yes, and sporting director also resigned on the same basis. He said, club in my vision, and he had been the sporting director since, I think, 2018. And he had some successful stints at PSV Eindhoven and AZ Alkmaar before coming to Everton, and he resigned, I think, in the same January window. And then, so 16 January, they sold Luka Dean and they signed a couple of players, that Ukrainian player. And all these were signed by Benitez in January.
And they fired Benitez a week later.
Then they fired Benitez and they hired Lampard. And the deadline day signing, which was Donny van de Beek on loan and Dele Alli, were Lampard signing. So, I mean...
Wow.
A club cannot be in more mess, is how I would structure it.
This is one club which fans can abuse the owners and love the owners at the same time, Yash. The dichotomy. They love the owners spending money.
At least they sprang into action and bought two players. I mean, I've seen another club, Manchester United, make like two sack their manager and get a new manager in the last 4 years, right? Solskjaer for Jose and now Ragnik for Solskjaer. But not a single Jan signing happened, you know. So there's no transformation in the squad. They just let the new manager, you know, deal with the same players. But here, I don't think Dele Alli and... Donny van de Beek have had much impact at Everton, but I mean, at least the owners gave him an option
but
of attacking players.
Is it better to buy a bad player and to bad influence on the dressing room or not to buy at all?
No, but we don't know whether they're a bad influence in the dressing room. Maybe
I know. I know Dele Alli is a bad influence.
Haven't you seen All or Nothing, Tottenham?
Have you not seen All or Nothing?
Maybe Donny is a good influence.
Oh yeah, is Donny even playing? I don't think even he plays much.
He doesn't, but he's been injured. I mean, injuries also have been a problem for Everton this season. Calvert-Lewin has been injured for majority of the season. Yerry Mina, their centre-back who plays
along
with Keane, he's just come back. And I mean, Townsend is injured.
Oh, okay.
And Saruya, the major thing is, in the summer when Benitez was hired, at that time, they were facing financial problems. So, they spent aggregate $2 million in the summer.
Oh, yeah. And wait, didn't Benitez get all the doctors also fired from Everton? He got a new medical team.
Yes, yes. All these things happened. But I'm saying primarily on the transfer window side, because of the financial regulations and all those things, they could not spend more than $2 million in the summer window.
Wow. Man, what a basket case they made this club. I just hope they are in the league. Because, I mean, all said and done, they're a nice club to have in the league. Non-threatening to anyone.
Yeah,
this is the first time their status in the Premier League or the top division has been threatened since 1951.
That is why they need a special guy like Lampard. Yes, to bring them out. And he's proving it.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't wish them well while Lampard is around. So, I know they're not going to get relegated this year, but next season, my dream of a Lampard versus Gerrard relegation battle, I'm hopeful it'll come true.
All right. Okay, we should take a break right now. After the break, please have your player of the week and the games you are watching this weekend ready. So stay tuned to Football Twaddle. Okay, welcome back to Football Twaddle. Let's start. Yes, who is your player of the week? Who impressed you the most with his antics?
The person who impressed me the most was Ryan Sessegnon. Because finally he lived up to the hype and he marked the Liverpool forwards quite well on his side and gave a crucial assist to Heung-min Song for possibly a season-defining goal.
Yeah, but talking about that goal, man, Harry Kane, dude, what a good player he is.
Yeah, that is incredible vision, incredible patience to just wait for the right ball, not to try to play through ball to Son immediately and you know, pass it in time so that Sessegnon doesn't, you know, is not offside while he receives it. So that was genius play.
Yeah, Harry
Kane. Saru, yeah, having said that, what is Harry Kane now thinking now that Haaland to City is done? He could have gone there last season.
But it's like hollow victory, man. Who cares?
Yeah, but now where does Harry Kane go? Because Tottenham don't make the Champions League.
No, I think
he should sit around for another year.
No, I think he should sign a contract extension and just decide to be with Tottenham forever. Even if he wins one FA Cup or a Europa League, that will mean so much more. So, what is this? Why? Why should he go? City has no heart. Till Pep resigns, no one should go there. Like Patrice Evra said, there are no leaders. There are no leaders at City. Whoa, talking of that. Yes, did you hear Pep's comments on Patrice Evra? He said, ask him to come here. I will show him leaders. I will show him quality.
Why is he reacting to everyone? I don't understand. I mean, I hope he's not rattled, man. I mean, he should keep his head around for a couple of weeks and then do whatever he wants.
No, I think he is trying to deflect attention that because people are like, abe yaar, screw you. You again bottled it in Champions League, right?
Yeah. But I mean, this was expected from him, right? So whatever. You should just chill out.
Yeah, I think Pep has no chill anyway. And it's annoying to him that Klopp is always smiling and giving his one-liners. I think that annoys him even more.
Yeah.
All right. So Ryan Sessegnon, Mana, who is your player of the week?
Ben Davies.
Are you talking about that one stop match he made, which is amazing?
Yes, I mean, that one stop was just amazing. So, one block. So, yeah, I mean, Ben Davies for me. I mean, he was good throughout the game. And towards the end, he even played left wing back to accommodate Davinson Sanchez in the middle. So, yeah.
Yeah, Ben Davies.
I would go for Ben Davies.
Ben Davies is a good player. I mean, I saw a lot of...
Very versatile player.
Yeah.
Very versatile player.
Yeah. It's quite good. All right. I'm going to go across the continent for my player of the week. It's Sandro Tonali of AC Milan. Those guys are having...
The party.
Nahi. It's like one of the toughest Serie A seasons for a long time. Yeah. And they had to win. Yeah. And then Tonali, Timori and Rafael Leao, like our boy, Chelsea boy Timori is playing so well. But Sandro Tonali is scoring goals and that's how they're still 2 points ahead, even though they have like two tougher fixtures against Inter. But if they pull it off, it'll be incredible. I think their average age is, if you add Zlatan, it's 30 or something. If you remove Zlatan, I don't know. They're all like, just like hitting puberty or some shit like that. So yeah. So yeah, that's it. All right. What are you guys going to watch on the weekend, guys?
Manchester United are not playing, so that saves a couple of hours. But yeah, I'll be certainly looking forward to the North London Derby, which is midweek.
And that I is midweek.
The podcast would have come out. Yeah, the podcast would have come out by now. But I'll be keenly watching Arsenal versus Everton.
Arsenal versus Everton?
Yeah. I mean, if Everton win, they are definitely out of relegation and Arsenal's position top four will be in danger. So, I just hope it's not a draw. Let's put it that way.
Dude, it's Newcastle versus Arsenal. What are you watching?
Everton is last game week. Sorry. That's a week from now. So, yeah, my bad.
I know because my Newcastle fan is. So, I knew that there's something wrong.
Okay. So, I'll be watching West Ham versus Man City.
Why, Mana? Why? Why are you going to watch that game of all games?
Yeah, because because there doesn't seem to be any other interesting game. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay, what's your prediction for that? Is it 4-0 Manchester City?
Yeah, I mean, let's make it 3-0.
So. All right, okay. Yes, do you have such issues of trying to watch a game or do you have a game in mind?
So, on the Monday night game which you referred previously, where Newcastle take on Arsenal, will be an interesting game because Arsenal need to win to keep their top four. I mean, I'm assuming they'll need it. If not, then it'll be just a fun game for all of us to enjoy.
So none of you are watching the FA Cup final.
No, we're leaving that to you. Dude. It's not of much interest to us.
Wow, the FA Cup final is of not interest to people. What about it's the People's Cup and it's the oldest tournament in the world and the second oldest tournament is Santosh Trophy or something like that. Wasn't that a quiz question once?
Yeah, I do. Durand Cup, but Durand Cup, leave it. Yeah. We'll watch it next year, FA Cup.
All right, FA Cup final. I'm going for a Chelsea win. Sweet and easy 3-1 Chelsea win in the FA Cup final. By then, Liverpool will be out of the Premier League as well. And then I think Champions League will be a draw and both the teams will lift the trophy. So it's just half a trophy for them. So, yeah. But I think 3-1 Chelsea, they're going to whack Leeds today to threaten and Mo Salah is going to get scared watching this game. So, yeah.
All right.
Wait, there is also Milan versus Atlanta, I think. Yeah, there is a Milan versus Atlanta and I want Milan to win the Serie A. So, I'm very busy on a Sunday night. We're watching Milan, Atlanta and Chelsea, Liverpool. Yes, you want to watch those games? Let's watch it together then.
Yes, let's go for it.
All right. Okay, Manav.
Miss me, guys.
Man, thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.